Welcome to Family Policy Matters, an engaging and informative weekly radio show and podcast produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Hi, this is John Rustin, president of NC Family, and we're grateful to have you with us for this week's program. It's our prayer that you will be informed, encouraged, and inspired by what you hear on Family Policy Matters, and that you will feel better equipped to be a voice of persuasion for family values in your community, state, and nation. And now here is our host of Family Policy Matters, Tracy DeVette Griggs.
Thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. Many of us might envision dingy, dimly lit rooms when we think of the adult film industry, but this is far from the truth anymore. While the porn industry is valued in the billions of dollars, the reality is that its tentacles are much more far-reaching and involve many more businesses and industries than we might realize. Well, Haley McNamara is vice president of the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, which is committed to exposing the dark underbelly of this business. She joins us today to discuss why this is such an important issue and what we can do to affect change. Haley McNamara, welcome to Family Policy Matters.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we often hear it's not our business what someone is doing in the privacy of their own home. They say it's not really hurting anybody or it's a matter of free speech. So what's the problem with these arguments and why is it so important that we not look the other way on this issue?
Well, really, we're entering into a phase where we're seeing a rise in research on the actual public health harms of pornography. And once a social or health issue involves problems that affect individuals or groups beyond their capacity to correct, responsibility starts shifting from individual accountability to holding the forces and influences that cause it accountable. So research is showing the public health harms of pornography is linked to child sexual abuse, compulsive sexual behavior, violence against women, sexual dysfunctions, neurological problems in the brain, and really so much more. So what we're seeing is not just a matter of individual choice, it's a matter of how it's impacting your own health and your loved ones as well.
Right. And these connections aren't just hearsay, right? I mean, these are researched answers.
Absolutely. You know, even just since 2010, there have been over 40 major studies, for example, that have revealed that pornography has negative and, in fact, detrimental impacts on the brain. This includes a 2014 study that found that pornography use is linked to decreased brain matter in the areas of motivation and decision making. And, you know, there's so much more research on the brain. It's linked to sexual violence. Child-on-child sexual abuse is a really hidden crisis right now in America of children acting out in harmful sexual ways because they're reenacting what they've been exposed to in hardcore pornography. And I think that we can see that this is something we need to be critical of based on the fact that this is a completely new variable in the human experience. You know, younger generations right now are the first to grow up with the access to this kind of hardcore, endlessly novel, endlessly violent material online.
All right, boy, that's chilling. So we mentioned in the introduction that there's a wide web and beyond what people might realize. Tell us, how wide is that web that keeps pornography available?
Right. There are a lot of people who stand to make money from the pornography business. So, of course, there are the producers and the agents that are working on pornography itself. But we also have many mainstream companies that are promoting it, facilitating it, and profiting from it. We've seen that, for example, with Google, which in the past used to have ads that would link directly to hardcore pornography websites. Thankfully, our organization took action and they've now stopped doing that through the dirtydozenlist.com. But we also see that there are other companies such as Amazon that hosts the privacy for their online websites. It does web hosting for them and then is profiting from pornography that way. We see major credit card companies are processing payments for this industry and all the while not recognizing the public health harms, but also the pornography industry's inherent link to sex trafficking and child sexual abuse as well.
What are some of the less obvious organizations that are making pornography possible?
I would definitely highlight Visa right now as a credit card company that's on the Dirty Dozen list. Visa's not alone. Visa, MasterCard, and Discover all partner with the pornography industry, processing their payments, despite the fact that real-life videos of sex trafficked women and of children being sexually abused have been found on many of these sites. So we're absolutely calling on all of these major credit card companies to stop processing those payments. In fact, last fall, PayPal stopped processing those payments. So we know it's something that they can do. And actually, if you go to dirtydozenlist.com, you can help us reach out to Visa executives. We have a little form that you can fill out, and you can actually email them directly asking them to stop profiting from sexual exploitation.
So that's a great example of one success story from your organization. Your organization really is on the front lines regarding social media as well, in calling out these mainstream social media companies that you say are enabling and even funding pornography. So tell us a little bit about your strategy as far as addressing some of those concerns.
I'll often have people ask me, okay, so sex trafficking is a problem on Instagram. Does that mean that I need to delete my Instagram? And that's not necessarily the answer. Maybe that's the answer for you. But what we typically advocate for is not boycotting, but actually taking an affirmative action. A lot of companies really do pay attention to customer complaints or to bad reviews online, or to if someone is saying something negative about their company on social media. These companies care about the way that they're presented in the public. So we are asking people to reach out to the companies either through our website or directly yourself to ask for change. And we've seen that that's been incredibly successful. For example, because of that, we've seen some really important improvements happening at Snapchat and at Instagram. I mentioned Google Play now has a policy to prohibit pornographic apps in their app store, whereas before advocates like your listeners took action, they were allowing that. So we've definitely seen success through this, which is helpful because these are very dark subjects, but we know that if we take affirmative action, we actually have a good track record.
What about social media sites like Facebook and Twitter? Are they also having some issues with this?
Absolutely. One thing that's a little bit frightening about Facebook right now is that they're pursuing encryption methods, even on things like Kids Messenger. And of course, encryption, we're not actively against. We recognize the desire for privacy. However, if we're going to be doing that, we need to do it in a way that we can still protect children from sexual predators. On Twitter, we really see that Twitter is really ground zero for social media sexual exploitation right now. They blatantly allow pornography. They blatantly allow escort and prostitution accounts to be running. So we know that there's a significant amount of sex trafficking happening on Twitter as well, because pornographic images and videos that are being shared and used to advertise for real life victims offline. So we certainly know that those platforms are a problem. There are many predators on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram that are reaching out to children very regularly, asking them for nude images, nude videos, and then using that to extort them, really, to blackmail them into either sending more of these kinds of images or even into meeting in real life where they could later be sexually abused or sex trafficked. Tragically, we've met with, and I've personally spoken with, individuals who this has happened to. And that's really a trend across all social media, even across video games where there's an online chat component. So certainly I would recommend, in addition to reaching out to the companies to ask that they improve their systems, that they get proactive algorithms to stop this kind of predatory behavior, I also would recommend that parents really talk with your kids about who they talk to online, whether they think that they're a friend or not. It's important for you to know who they're speaking with and to make sure that your child is safe.
So you mentioned earlier you've had some good results. Any other companies or industries that are stepping up and making some changes?
Yeah, we've seen really significant improvements with Comcast. We've met with them several times. They said that they heard our feedback and made improvements to their parental controls, which was really amazing. After our advocacy, the Department of Defense stopped selling pornography in Army and Air Force base exchanges, which is quite significant if you think about the military's problem with sexual assault. It's important that they not also fuel attitudes that are inherently degrading towards women. We've also really had a big impact on the hotel industry. In the last few years, we've gotten Hilton Worldwide, Hyatt Hotels, Intercontinental Hotel Groups, and Starwood to all admit to stop selling pornography on demand in their guest rooms. So that's a big chunk of change out of the pornography industry's pocket, which I don't mind at all. But we all know that that makes a real world difference. People who are able to go to these hotels, not be tempted with those images. And even I spoke with a sex trafficking survivor who was trafficked in one of those hotel chains. And she said that when she would go in, men would often buy pornography on the TV and force her to act out what they saw. And she said that when she realized the hotel was no longer selling those materials, she felt like maybe someone out there actually cared about women like her. So I think when we make these kinds of policy improvements at the corporate level, they certainly have a ripple effect in many ways, including just on our cultural values and saying that we are going to respect the human dignity of each person rather than seeing them as sexual commodities.
Wow, great example. So we've started seeing some state legislatures take some action on this as well, right?
Yes, we have had at least 15 states have now declared pornography a public health hazard or recognized its public health harms formally. These are fantastic resolutions that really just recognize the research, and then it raises awareness and makes it much easier for the state to then say, okay, let's relook at the filters in the libraries or in the public schools where taxpayer money is going and make sure that these spaces are free from pornography as well.
And while we're doing this interview, we are in the midst of much of our country being locked down, and actually not just our country, but many countries in the world are being locked down because of the COVID-19 virus. So with all this time on our hands, do you have any special concerns? Does this create any additional problems, do you think, for this issue?
It really does. You know, in the midst of social distancing, self-isolation, and quarantines, we know that there is a large increase of children who are spending more time online than they ever would have before. And it's a sad reality to know that wherever children are, predators will flock to that space. And so we know that that's happening online. So we really encourage parents to talk to your kids about their internet usage. Ask them, you know, if they're chatting with people online, who are they chatting with? These are really important things to talk about in a non-accusatory way, but really just make sure that you're tuned in with your child's online actions. And then we also are encouraging parents to make sure that they're setting up parental controls, making sure that they're, whether limiting time online or making sure that pornography is not allowed on the child's devices. You can set a lot of really great filters through Google's Safe Search. And there's great parental controls on all of the different apps that you use as well. So we encourage you to look at those and then also talk to your kid about why it's important to be careful online.
So you have a lot of this information that you've just told us on your website. Tell us where that is and how people can access it.
Yes. So if you are wanting to learn more and take action about corporations facilitating sexual exploitation, I would direct you towards dirtydozenlist.com. And if you're curious just to learn more about our work in general and also maybe some of our advice during the coronavirus, we just put out a blog with some examples of filters that might be helpful for you to look at with your family. You can find that information at endsexualexploitation.org.
Well, thank you very much. Haley McNamara, Vice President of National Center on Sexual Exploitation. Thank you for being with us on Family Policy Matters.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters. We hope you enjoyed the program and plan to tune in again next week. To listen to this show online and to learn more about NC Family's work to inform, encourage, and inspire families across North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org. That's ncfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and your family.